Welcome to another sparkling edition of The Thought Police with me, Mike Graham, and you...
Keir Starmer.
Keir Starmer, or Stalin, if you prefer,
yeah.
Has done a blinder again this week, hasn't he? Not only did he miss the inauguration of Donald Trump, 47th President of the United States...
On account of not being invited.
Possibly the only person in British politics who wasn't invited, because everybody was there. Boris Johnson was there, Suella Braverman was there, Liz Truss was there, Nigel Farage was there, Nick Candy was there, you know, take your pick. There was a whole host, even Lawrence Fox, I think, was there. Mm-hmm. As well, a whole host of people who might be described as sort of right wing. Priti Patel as well,
Alex Phillips for God's sake.
Alex Phillips, of course, as well. And I mean, at the end of the day, you kind of go, it's all very well saying, well, British politicians don't really get invited, and no previous prime ministers ever been invited. They all got pretty worked up about that last week with my tweet about it. But at the end of the day, he's now got access to the President of the United States behind Giorgio Meloni, behind the President of Argentina, behind the President of Brazil, who was also there, behind the Chinese, behind all sorts of other people from the world of politics in Europe, right? So even waiting for the phone call, I mean, by the time you hear this, he might have had a phone call from Trump. Mm-hmm. But I suspect that Trump is going to piss him around and fuck him around, because why wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, apparently he's been desperately scrambling to try and be the first world leader who visits Donald Trump in his presidency.
Except
in
he won't be, because he's already behind all the other people who were there.
That's exactly what's happened. But he wants to, you know, post inauguration.
Yeah.
But apparently he's just been told, well, we'll see.
Yeah.
And last week's stories were going around that Trump said, no, that fucker, he's at the back of the queue.
Yeah, right.
So if you don't see Starmer in Washington in the next week or so, 10 days or so, you can take it that Donald Trump has told him to take a fucking hike.
Yeah, absolutely right. And isn't it amazing? It'll be wreaking havoc with his travel plans, because you know how he doesn't like
to be in Britain. He loves to travel.
He doesn't like to be in Britain too much. He'll be sitting there with his sort of travel department going, well, where are we going in January?
That's right, yeah, yeah.
And then we go, well, we'll have to leave some windows in case we have to go somewhere. So he won't be able to book anything in case he gets the call, right?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing here. It doesn't look like the invitation from Donald is forthcoming. Fucking Keir going, well, where am I going to go then? Where can I fly?
I mean, he's been to Poland. He can't go back to Ukraine too soon, can he? He hasn't been to China, but Rachel Reeves has just been there.
Yeah.
He didn't go to Davos, so he can't go there. He hasn't been to South
America. Do you know
all
those nicknames? So he's called Never Hear Keir, and there's Two Tier Keir, Free Gear.
Free Gear. Keir.
Do you know what? It's a shame that doesn't have the same ring to it, but I think it's a nickname that could take off. Fuck off, you cunt, Keir. How about that one?
Listen, you can certainly add it to the myriad of names that he's got. But what about his...
What a cunt he's made of himself about Southport.
Oh, my God. His fucking press conference this week was an absolute sort of, you know, lesson in how not to do it. He talks... Every time he's doing something that he thinks is serious, he talks slowly, as if he's talking to a
parochial priest.
Of fucking retards, right? And like, yeah, or a
sanctimonious, talking down at you morally.
Yeah, absolutely, you know.
Those children, justice, must.
This is a very serious matter.
Yeah, really, really. The murder of three little kids, you think that's serious? Yeah. No shit.
And he's basically also kiboshed himself, because he's effectively admitted that, yes, he did withhold information from us, and the reason he gives for that is that he didn't want to jeopardise the trial of Rudy Cabana. Well, there was never any likelihood of that fucking happening, and he should know that better than anyone. And my belief is that he did it deliberately. They charged him in two stages deliberately so that they couldn't call him a terrorist, because only Starmer could have invented this nonsense that you're only a terrorist if the definition states that you are. He's clearly a fucking terrorist, right? He was reading terrorist manuals. He was signed up to Al-Qaeda on the fucking internet. He had fucking ricin, a chemical weapon which he used, was about to fucking kill loads of people with. He stabbed a load of young white girls because they were at a Taylor Swift concert, because the Muslim fraternity don't like young girls dancing and showing off their skin. You know, there's no question that this guy's
and
a fucking
witnesses,
terrorist.
And witnesses, we can talk about this now. Well, we've kind of known this all along, but you can't...
you couldn't talk about it in case...
Yeah,
was,
no, once he's charged, fair enough.
Here's what we're hearing, is that it was 12 minutes of horror in that dance hall where he just went around stabbing as many people as he could. Of course, three little kids
all
died.
All women, by the way.
And others were left very badly injured, by the way, and they're still suffering. But apparently he was yelling Allahu Akbar.
Yeah.
So also this Al-Qaeda manual, which, for the training manual, which to my
mind, I haven't got one of those. Have you got one?
I think I got a couple.
Yeah.
No, what a load of bollocks. Obviously, that's terrorism, but apparently, just in case you're in any doubt, it was written by a well-known Islamic extremist.
Of course it was. Yeah.
So, he's a terrorist, and a typical lawyer Starmer. He's now getting lost in, perhaps we need to go back to the drawing board and redefine what a terrorist attack is. Fuck off!
No, but you see, this is what I think betrays his motive, because only by knowing that he would use that as a fucking loophole is he now capable of saying that it needs to be changed, because who would have said, with any fucking alacrity or any honesty, that, he's not a terrorist because he doesn't fit this description of a terrorist. He's a fucking terrorist.
Of course he's a
terrorist. He's terrorised children. He's been identified as somebody who's been radicalised for one reason or another online by people who are intent on killing Western civilization. Yeah. I'm sorry, he fits every fucking bill for being a terrorist. And now the only person who thinks he's not one is Keir Starmer, because the definition is wrong.
Here's what they should have done. First of all, in the realm of law, one set of charges cannot prejudice another set of charges. It's as simple as that. Yeah. You and I know this, long-time journalist.
Every journalist
knows. This is the first thing you learn. Now, so in other words, to accuse Axel Rudi Cabana of terrorist possession of an Al-Qaeda manual and rice in poison could not legally prejudice his trial for murder.
Right.
In fact, what they should have done, because they knew from day one, they should have charged him with the murder of three children, the attempted murder of 10 other people, and also the possession of ricin and the possession of Al-Qaeda manual, all in one.
Yeah.
All in one. Okay. That's what they should have done. Why did Keir Starmer organise it that we didn't know about the ricin and the manual for 3 fucking months?
Yeah.
Because he was already accusing the rioters in Southport of being far-right thugs who were spreading misinformation that this attack was terrorism.
Yes.
It wasn't fucking misinformation. It was on the fucking money. It was Keir Starmer and the Crown Prosecution and the police who spread misinformation by denying that it had anything to do with terrorism.
And by inferring, because of the information that they did release, i.e. his name, which didn't come out straight away, the picture of him as a sort of innocent looking...
What was that about?
What the fuck was that about? They had the picture that we've all now seen of him looking like a deranged fucking Islamist maniac,
cunt.
So they didn't release that one. They released a picture, say he's a choir boy, born in Wales, tried to give the impression to everyone that asked the question that this was a guy who had not been in any way radicalised and was just perhaps somebody... I mean, I'm amazed that they didn't come out and say he's suffering from mental health problems.
Yeah, he's from Norway.
Do you know what else I think they did? I think they also called for him to plead guilty so they didn't have to have a trial.
They did a deal, but...
They didn't have to have a trial.
Yeah, but that... I'm certain of that. A lot of pressure on the defence to come on, he's not going to get away with this.
Yeah.
We can do a good deal. By the way, by the time this comes out...
He would have been sentenced.
Now, if that little piece of shit does not get a whole life sentence, throw away the key, never to be released.
Although somebody raised the question with me today, and they may be right, and I don't know if they are, because, again, Keir Starmer could order him to be charged as an adult. Because he was only 17 when he committed the crime, if they decide to sentence him as a child, he won't be able to be given a full life.
Yeah, but they've already superseded that by revealing his identity.
Yeah.
They did take that decision earlier on because he was 17 when he committed the crime, and a week later he was 18, and a judge said, fuck that, you can name this kid.
Yes.
Now, if he does not get a full life sentence, a whole life sentence, in other words, like Lucy Letby, never to be released, then I want to know the fucking crime that warrants a whole life sentence, because there's nothing worse than what that little piece of shit did.
I see now, by the way, just apropos of nothing at all, but on the sentencing front, there's a judicial review, I think, going on into that guy Sharif, the guy
he wants a more lenient sentence.
Well, I think they're also asking for whether or not the sentence he got was actually maybe more lenient than it should have been.
Yeah, well, he's appealed to say it's too harsh.
Right.
And that bimbo that he was with, equally evil stepmother of Sara Sharif, they're appealing, saying that life sentence with a minimum of 40
isn't it ridiculous
years
that these people,
is too lenient.
Isn't it ridiculous?
Tell
me
what,
people,
you fucking cunt, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
But to go back to releasing the angelic picture of a 12-year-old,
right,
instead of a current picture. Yeah. The normal practice would have been, have you got a current picture, or to the parents, have you got a current picture, we need to put a picture
in.
No, all right, we'll take a picture of it.
I mean, we used to call it in the business a today picture, didn't we?
Yeah,
a picture from this fucking moment in time.
Yeah, but you could call them the perp.
You might as well have done a picture of a fucking baby.
It's the classic perp picture, if you want.
Right.
That's what they should have released. So why did they release a picture of him looking like an angelic?
I find this
I'll tell you why. It's because they wanted us to feel better about him.
Right.
They wanted us not to feel badly about him. What a sweet little kid.
Which takes us to the other question, which I've been meaning to ask, and I haven't really managed to get the right person to ask, so I'm going to ask you. Why are they so afraid of calling him a terrorist? Why?
Because it's wokery.
Yeah.
These are people, they're terrified of calling a young man of colour of Rwandan immigrant parents a terrorist for what he is. They're terrified of that. It's this nonsensical wokery that still consumes the British establishment. The police, the fucking Merseyside police, still say there was no terrorist connection. Mm. Go fuck yourselves, you fucking idiots.
But they also say, because it's in the Telegraph today, detectives in the case who were investigating it wanted to release more information about him. Because let's make the distinction here, right? Because there seems to be a body of thought that says, oh, you know, Keir Starmer's right, you can't prejudice a trial. Well, of course he's right, you can't prejudice a trial. Nobody would want to do that. But the threshold of information that he is suggesting that can't be given out is entirely wrong. And I spoke to a very, a well-versed and seasoned barrister, Michael Mansfield, on my show this week, who was absolutely in agreement with me. He said, yes, he should have and could have easily given out more information about the perpetrator without causing a mistrial of any kind.
Also, wait, there's another. This is just gobbledygook. Keir Starmer has led us into a land of gobbledygook.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any legal sense what he's saying. You cannot prejudice a trial until someone is charged.
Right.
There is not a trial until someone is charged.
Exactly.
So when he said, if we'd have released that it was a terrorist, that would affect the trial. What fucking trial?
Exactly.
What fucking trial? Until someone is charged, there is no trial. Keir Starmer, of course he knows the law, so it's not that he's wrong about the law, it's that he is lying to us. He's lying to us.
Of course he is.
This is shit.
And he's hiding behind the law, which is actually even worse.
Well, except for anybody who knows the law, he's not hiding behind it because it's not the law.
No.
And also, you know, why were the charges separated? Mm. Why was he not charged all at once with all the charges?
Well, I'll tell you why. Because if they charged him with the terrorist offence that he was charged with last October instead of back in the summer, then they would have had to declare him to be a terrorist. Right?
But you don't have to say anything like that. You know, it doesn't have
to. But if you're charging a suspect with a terrorist offence, then...
So what?
No, I'm not saying that you're wrong. What I'm saying is that they would then have to admit it that he's a terrorist.
Yeah,
you see what I'm saying?
He's an alleged terrorist.
No, but they would have said that we are treating this as a terrorist act. That's what they would have said.
But it has to at that point be alleged terrorism. Everything is alleged.
Well, no, they've often
said... You can't say it's terrorism.
No, but the police have said, and they've said it in various cases before this one, we are treating this as a terrorist incident.
Yeah, I know.
They say that.
Yeah,
they do.
But the defendant does not then become a terrorist. He becomes an alleged terrorist.
Okay, well, let's... All right.
It's really important.
You're sounding a bit...
The bottom line is
that if he is being investigated and then charged in an incident which is a terrorist incident, then as far as I'm concerned, he's a fucking terrorist.
Well, yeah, but why not charge him? Terrorism. What's the big deal?
We're agreeing
here. Yeah.
I'm just trying to explain to you why I think they did it that way was so that he could not be called a terrorist until that moment.
Well, let's think more about the main reason that fucking lying twat Starmer told us these porkies. It was because when he learned on day one that fucking shit had ricin and an Al-Qaeda manual, he was already accusing the rioters in Southport of spreading misinformation because they were saying this is terrorism. Mm. So he'd already said, no, it's not.
Yeah.
You're lying. You're getting this wrong. You're spreading misinformation. They were not. They were on the money. It was the Prime Minister, the police,
and the Crown Prosecution Service, who were spreading misinformation.
Exactly right. Let's not forget Angela Rayner, who said, well, if anybody calls this a terrorist incident, it's fake news and they are a conspiracy theorist.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, that's what she said publicly, shambles. Right? Now, as far as I'm concerned, that's just as bad in terms of influencing a trial as saying the complete opposite of it. And at the end of the day, you know, there was an awful lot of misinformation. People were saying he was a migrant who had come on a small boat. They were saying that he was a Muslim. You know, some of the things that turned out not to be true. But the government could have quite easily squashed all that by just giving us the fucking truth, which they didn't do.
But this business of whether or not he's a terrorist, so what implicitly that prick Starmer is saying is that if, you know, if you stab someone, Mike, and they said, oh, well, he was shouting Allahu Akbar, so actually we're charging you with terrorist-related grievous bodily harm. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, what Starmer is saying, because you've been charged with a terrorist offence, that prejudices your trial.
Well, of course it doesn't.
Well,
does it?
You know, in that case, you can't charge anyone with anything.
Right.
Oh, we're charged with murder. Well, murder, that's really serious.
Somebody pointed out to me today that there's a whole host of cases that you can look at about all manner of things, including, say, for example, the John Warboys case, you know, the black taxi rapist, right?
Yeah.
When he was arrested and charged, the police then made an appeal to women to ask if they had had any dealings with this man, and to ask whether or not you know, they'd been in his cab and whether anything weird had happened, whether they'd been raped by him. They asked people to come forward. Now, in Keir Starmer's world, that's prejudicing a trial.
Yeah, I know.
But it's clearly not prejudicing a trial because the police do it all the time.
Yeah, Starmer's essentially saying that the charges themselves prejudice a trial.
Yeah.
So if I charge you with a terrorist offence, your trial is automatically prejudiced. Well, that's
you can't have a fair trial because I've accused you of being a thief.
Yeah,
bollocks.
Exactly.
Rubbish.
This is Alice in Wonderland bullshit.
Yes.
It's utter fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
He's obfuscating, just like they're obfuscating about, oh my God, that Axel Rudakabama bought a knife on Amazon. We've got to close that down.
I know.
Look, everybody's mum, or wife or husband, everybody in their kitchen has got 50 murder weapons.
I've got plenty.
Whether or not he got the fucking knife on Amazon doesn't make any difference.
That's
and by
really
the way,
the
by the way, there's a couple of stories that come out, really detailed descriptions of what happened in the 12 minutes of horror when he burst into the dance hall.
Yeah.
And most witnesses say he was carrying a kitchen knife,
right,
which is interesting. But, you know, again, this is Starmer. We're going to sort of crack down on online knife sales. What the fuck difference is that going to make?
Yeah.
It's obfuscating. It's trying to divert us
exactly
away from the real scandal. That's him covering up the truth.
Yeah, exactly right. Because everybody knows who's ever done a story on fucking knife crime in this country that the vast majority of knife crime is carried out by people who are doing exactly what you've just described, taking a knife out of the kitchen drawer and plunging it into somebody's fucking chest. You don't have to go on the internet to buy a fucking knife.
But this is
you complete and utter twat.
Yeah, this is Starmer, though, in Ann Cooper.
Yeah.
This is what they do.
Right,
they move the goalposts.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of the papers today splashing on, you know, Southport killer bought knife online on Amazon or something. I mean, so fucking what?
Yeah,
if he didn't buy it on Amazon, he'd have got it out of his mum's kitchen drawer.
Yeah.
Fuck's
sake. Exactly right. I mean, it is just another shit week, though, isn't it, for Starmer? He's had nothing good for him going on. He's got Rachel Reeves over in fucking Davos having the piss taken out of her because she's got no fucking clue what she's doing. They've just borrowed, it turns out, nearly 18 billion quid last month alone, right? That's on top of the so-called £22 billion black hole. What the fuck are they doing with the money? Are they burning it?
Well,
you know?
Well, we know what they're doing. They're spending £22 billion on a carbon capture scheme.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody knows what that is.
Brilliant.
They're sending £11.6 billion abroad for special green projects. Plus, they're spending the normal foreign aid budget, which I think comes to about 15 billion quid.
Yeah.
So all of that is going abroad. They say we're so broke, we're so hard up. Well, stop giving the fucking money to foreign countries.
Yeah.
You dumb
and,
cunts.
You know, can we not please give another 4.5 fucking billion quid to Ukraine, which they suddenly pulled out of the back pocket? Only last week, Starmer suddenly decides he's going to pop across to fucking see Zelensky, and then he's going to pop across to Poland. I mean, this man is a complete and utter charlatan.
And
I don't know what he thinks he's doing.
Well, you know, They're incompetent. Labour are incompetent. They're stumbling from one
crisis
to the
gentle
other.
On them, really.
By the way, you know, let's talk about, you know, these boring, depressing little socialist twats who, from the day they came into power on July the 5th, have been talking this country down, depressing the entire, oh, we've got no money, and they bless us in the
things are
going to
get tougher before they get better.
So let's switch across the Atlantic and see how it should be done. Right. Donald Trump, you know, a lot of people will say he's got a lot of faults, but fucking hell, does he do optimism?
Well, like Keir Starmer doesn't have
Yeah, but I mean, you know, fuck me, does Trump know how to do optimism?
Of course he does.
I mean, he's got America so excited.
Yeah, of course
and
he
a lot of it is just bluster, brilliant oratory. But he's talking America up. Why would you take over a fucking country and then talk it down? Yeah. That's what Starmer
did. Well, if you're in business
Prime Minister, but this country is a piece of shit.
If you're in business right now, the most exciting place to be is fucking Washington, D.C. and the United States of America. That is where it's all happening, because that's where all the money from the world's fucking businesses is going. It's where the fucking the get up and go is. It's where all the fucking, you know, cool shit is happening. You know, there's always a part of the world at some point or other which is kind of the focal point. You know, I always feel like London in the 80s was very much the focal point of the world. You know, there was the Big Bang, Margaret Thatcher fucking opened up the city, loads of my mates, and I'm sure some of yours, ended up working in the city, making an absolute fortune, people driving around in fucking Porsches, you know, people playing a lot of golf. There was a fantastic opportunity, and Britain was the place to make money. 90s was pretty good too. You know, but now, you wouldn't come to Britain if your fucking life depended on it. And I'm talking to people now, not only do we hear all the time of people leaving, but I'm also talking to businesses who ring me up on the show and stuff and say, you know, we can't attract anybody from America to come and work here. They don't like the fucking government. They don't like the cost of the schools that they're going to have to put their kids in. They don't think it's very safe either. And they just don't want to fucking move here. Yeah. So all this talk of an AI revolution, I'm sorry, it ain't fucking happening.
Yeah, all my my liberal American mates over in LA, oh, we're leaving America, we're coming to London. I said, I'll see you in the fucking airport, I'll be going the other way.
Exactly right. I mean, this is the thing. You know, Britain should be a beacon of fucking hope and you know, fun and business acumen. There's a lot of very clever people in Britain. There's some fucking brilliant companies in this country of ours. But the politicians are just the shittest we've had, I think, for a very long time.
And I
include practically everyone in that.
And in case everybody thinks it's just about sort of left-wing socialists, which is, what Starmer and Reeves and the gang are, their big project is to tax private industry and private people as much as they can and give all the money to the public sector, which is a way to kill an economy stone dead.
Absolutely.
But in case everybody thinks this is what Labour governments do, remember Tony Blair?
Yeah.
Tony Blair, he was a Labour politician, but he was a smart one.
Right.
He came in and he was almost Trump-like when he came in talking the country up, getting a fantastic mood of optimism going. That's what you fucking do.
Well, he was also
would you talk your country down?
He was a moderniser, and I know people will always have a go at me because I used to quite like Tony Blair. I didn't vote for him, but I thought what he did in 97 was a good thing. He fucked it all up at the end of the Iraq War, and I get all that. But he was a moderniser. He brought Britain actually from a dangerously kind of backward place in the mid-90s with John Major being in charge and the whole fucking, you know, death knell, the death rattle of the Tory party. Do you remember Back to Basics when they were all getting caught with their fucking pants down, shagging all sorts of people they shouldn't have been? And it was
including
a tired...
Major.
It was a including Major. It was a tired, run-down... load of shit by the time we got to sort of 97. And Blair generally, I think sort of turbocharged the economy. He knew it was all about business. He knew that we had to fucking
and be mates
happen.
With America.
Yeah.
He became best mates with George W. Bush.
Yeah.
Politically, those two aren't on the same planet.
Yeah.
But Blair knew, hitch your wagon to the States, that puts you centre stage.
Yeah.
We got a Prime Minister who doesn't look to Washington, he looks to fucking Brussels, that sclerotic, fucked up old EU.
Where
piece
it's all
of
falling
shit.
Apart.
Of course
faster
it is.
Than you could say fucking, you know, Ursula von der Leyen. But let's talk about something a little bit more close to home, because you've been explaining to us earlier on today. That you had a bit of a domestic accident.
I did.
Which resulted in you not being able to iron your shirts.
Well, everybody, I've arrived at work wearing... it's a sort of a Saturday night shirt.
It sort of is, yeah.
It's a rather loud blue
it's
and
a
black
sort of, I mean, you could wear it on the Graham Norton show.
Yeah,
you know.
It's a rather blue and silver loud stripe thing. I admit it. The reason I'm wearing it is that yesterday... I was ironing a shirt. I do my own ironing.
Yeah.
And
that's going to shock a lot of people, though, by the way.
I like ironing shirts.
Do you?
Yeah. I've been,
well, I fucking hate ironing.
You see, the thing about me is I lived on my own until I was 35 years old. So I'm quite good at domestic stuff.
Yeah,
so,
but I'm quite good at putting my shirts into dry cleaning to fucking press them.
Well, I do a bit of that. Yeah. But anyway, I was ironing a shirt yesterday. And the fucking thing, you know, not only went wrong, it fused the whole house.
Is it one of those steam irons?
No, yeah, it's a big flash.
So did you put water in it?
Yeah.
And
all
so
that.
Did the water touch the
wrong bit? I don't know what it was, mate. But we've had it for about 2 years, but I suppose they've got a shelf life. But anyway, it fused the whole fucking house. I've immediately ordered another one to get delivered. But it hasn't arrived yet, so I only had two shirts that were kind of from the dry cleaners, ready for a Sunday. Right. One is this one, and the other one you'll see tomorrow.
It is a nightmare. I mean, I went to put one of these, because sometimes if I come back to do Plank of the Week, like we did today, and Clash of the Titans, I tend to put on a different shirt, button-down shirt.
Yeah.
And I put the one clean white one that I had, had a fucking button missing in the middle. And I thought, I can't really go on TV with a button. You could probably cover it with a tie.
Yeah.
But what if somebody sees it? I don't really want to do it. And so I've ended up wearing this one, which is perhaps not as well-pressed as it ought to be. But, you know, I've got a fucking confession to make. When you watch, if you do watch Grumpy Old Men at the weekend, you'll see that I think it's going to be this week's version of it. Pissed off with my inability to open a can of salmon the other day. I thought, fuck it, I'm going to buy a new tin opener. So I went into this kitchen shop, very expensive kitchen shop at Borough Market, and bought this very, very interesting tin opener, which doesn't have the normal sort of arms, right? It's just, it's square. I showed it to you, didn't I?
Yeah.
It's made in Germany, right? And you put it on and it's got a thing that you turn. Now, I got home, and I admit that I've had a few drinks by this stage, right? And I thought, I'm going to open a can of beans. I had some shepherd's pie ready, can of beans. Could I fucking make this thing work? All I could do was make a fucking hole in the can, which meant that, obviously, I couldn't put it back in the cupboard. And I couldn't fucking well open it for the life of me. So I'm going to have to go back to the shop and say to them, look, I'm really sorry. Can you show me how this works? Because I honestly can't make it work.
That thing that we saw yesterday.
Right. Yeah. You're meant to be able to open it from the top.
I saw it.
Yeah.
What about if you put it underneath the lip and did it round?
I've tried all of that. But again, it might be because I was too pissed. But I couldn't make any fucking sense.
It's a fucking thing on the warning, do not use when pissed.
Yeah. I mean, it's like they do have those, they're on forklift trucks and things, you know, do not operate under the influence of drink or medication or anything like that. But yeah, so I don't know what I'm going to fucking do. I mean, so I'm still using the old, lucky I didn't throw the old one out.
Oh, yeah.
Because even just before I came out today, I thought, I'll just give it a quick go. And again, it punctured the fucking can of beans, so there's a hole in it. But it doesn't
open. It's not working.
I can't figure it out. Fuck, it's got all these fucking like angles and things, and I just don't know. Well, I mean, it's ridiculous, isn't it? Here we are, relatively fucking modern men. I suppose some people might take the piss out of that phrase. And I literally can't operate fucking very simple things. Yeah, I don't know what it is. I've got a mental block.
We got this thing for Christmas, which is a kind of a cool thing, actually. It's like it's this sort of thing where. I'm talking about gadgets, basically. This is a thing where you can... It's like a sort of metal cylinder thing, but you can make an ice ball that's about, like, 3 inches across. A big ice ball.
Okay.
So you could put it in a jug of a cocktail or something like that. It's kind of a cool thing.
Yeah.
So there it is. You've got the shape of a big ball in the middle of it and all that. And so we go, oh, this is a great present. It's a cool thing.
Yeah.
And it's obviously quite expensive. So we open it up. Where's the instructions? Oh, there aren't any. So how the fuck do you know? So it sits there.
So you have to go on YouTube or something. My kids do that. Because when we went to a holiday to Montenegro, I think I said this in the summer, there was a Gaggenau kitchen appliance there. There was a cooker, there was an oven. We couldn't fucking make it work.
Because they're good, aren't they?
They're very good. They're very expensive. But had no
couldn't get it to work.
I was trying to make some scrambled egg one morning. I'm fucking raging. I'm just like, I just want to make some fucking scrambled eggs with a frying. I've got a frying pan. I can't work out how to switch the fucking
hob on.
And it turned out there was a magnet that you had to find. It was in the drawer, and you drop the magnet onto the thing that you want to actually heat up. And it's very clever once you know how to do it.
Right.
But we had to look it up on YouTube.
That is fucking
very complicated.
Why not just have an on and an off switch?
Well, exactly. And, you know, well, here's a fucking gauge where you can go high, low, blah, whatever.
What it is, it's techies.
Yeah.
They're skillful people, but they're the scourge of the earth. They're the scourge of the earth.
Mm.
So... You know, like computers or any gadget.
How is your computer situation, by the way?
It's fixed.
Is it fixed?
It's fixed.
Fucking finally.
Anyway,
we'll have to have a longer chat about that.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you about it next week. But what they do is that everything will be working fine. You'll like the system. We'll be able to work it. Some techie will go, we can make that better.
Yeah.
And then they'll improve it and make it impossible to fucking use.
Yeah.
Because they live in their technical world.
It's like when they update iPhones and they suddenly go, I didn't want it to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
And now it fucking does that.
Exactly.
Know.
And, you know, what phones these days, what's the most difficult thing to do on them? Make a fucking phone call.
Yeah, can't get a signal. You know, this country, by the way, when they talk about AI and the revolution that's going to bring in $750 billion fucking dollars or something. No, $470 billion. $47 billion a year for 10 years. There's parts of this country you can't even get a fucking phone signal. So don't talk to me about fucking AI.
Well, I read a piece that talked about AI and, you know, we're not producing enough energy to be a big AI country. I read that for the average AI gadget, whatever it is, to keep it going it uses the same amount of electricity as like 1,000 televisions. So if you watch telly for 5 minutes, AI, that'll be 5,000 times more energy it uses. So the amount of energy we're going to need for AI is going to cause this country, Britain, a fucking big problem because crazy Ed Miliband is going to leave us powerless. Here
comes
the power
cuts. We literally haven't got the bandwidth, have we?
No. And we're going to have less and less bandwidth while America surges ahead because they're drill baby drilling.
I know. Fucking ridiculous. Embarrassing. Mm. Right, but we've come to the end.
I want to have one more moan. One more moan to finish up.
Go on.
On Sunday... I don't like Sunday football fixtures in themselves.
No.
Football should be on a Saturday afternoon when Saturday comes.
Yes.
You cannot beat match day on a Saturday at 3 p.m. Fan-fucking-tastic. Go to the pub.
Yeah, midday on Sunday. No
thanks. Build-up. Right. Yeah, well, you talk about midday. Right. I mean, I'll just about live with that, 2 in the afternoon. So on Sunday, Fulham, big match. We're playing Man United at Craven Cottage. Guess when?
When?
7 o'clock on Sunday night.
Sunday night?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Fuck that.
That is ridiculous.
I mean, I'm going, but I'm furious.
Right.
That is a great fixture.
Half the fucking trains won't be
running,
will they?
Well, they've sucked the guts out of it.
How are people supposed to... I know they haven't got many fans in Manchester, but how the fuck are they supposed to get home if they want to?
That's a very good point. I hate to say it, but I feel sorry for them. They're not... Those poor fuckers, if they're going home that night, they'll be lucky to get home at 2 in the morning,
And even if you live in fucking Surrey, where most of them live, they'll have trouble fucking getting home as well. Yeah.
What's that joke? What team do you support? Man United. I didn't know you were a Londoner.
It's true. We've got some more matters to discuss, but we've got to run because we're running out of time.
All right. Anyway, don't fuck yourselves.
Don't do anything fucking stupid, and we'll see you next time.